Hi everyone, Drew Prode here, host of the Broken Brain Podcast with another Big Idea of the Week episode. Big Idea of the Week episodes are where I come with a thought, a distinction, or an idea that's radically transformed my life for the better. Today, we're talking about breaking free, two ways to break free from the grips of jealousy and comparison. I can't think of a topic that is not in the top 10 that's given me more of a sense of peace and joy than breaking free of the grips of jealousy and comparison. You know, getting stuck in jealousy and comparison means you are using a story, right? A story. It's not always fact. It's a meaning that you've injected to a circumstance. It's a story that you have about someone else's achievement or success as a reason to play out a destructive pattern, a pattern that we don't necessarily want to play out. That pattern could be a lot of things. Maybe you can identify with some of this. Have you ever felt like you've been stuck in comparison or even stuck in jealousy? It's tough to admit, but we've all been there before. And you've quit something that you wanted to get good at. You've not started because you were worried about how you compared yourself to other people. You chose on purpose to be less confident and not put yourself out there. You felt less sure about yourself, and the list goes on. If you can identify with any of that, which we all can, I'm raising my hand, then this podcast is for you. We're going to jump into all that and more and explore that into today's podcast. And I have a guest with me over here. First time I've had a guest on these Big Idea episodes, and that guest is my colleague, my sister, like my actual sister, biological sister, and my dear friend, Kaya Perowit. Kaya, welcome to the Broken Brain Big Idea episode.
I'm excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Little background. Who are you? What do you do in the world?
So I work with my brother, who is the host of this podcast, and we've been working together for almost 11 years, which is kind of crazy, but I love working with my family. I'm the chief content officer for Dr. Mark Hyman, who is business partners with Drew, and I'm starting my own company pretty soon with your fiance, which is very exciting. It's called Bia Health, and I am the chief strategy officer for that company, and my background is that I went to film school. And I love to combine my two passions, which are filmmaking and everything health and wellness.
Yeah, and you're great at it. If anybody's ever seen the Broken Brain docuseries or read pretty much any book that Dr. Hyman has written in the last 5 years or so, Kay has had a hand in helping out with a lot of those
some
projects.
Of them.
Not all of them, but some of them. But you were the director behind the Broken Brain series.
Yes.
Which again, if you haven't seen that, you can put your link, we'll put a link in the show notes so that you can watch that and check it out. Both Broken Brain 1 and Part 2. Kaya, why are you here? You know, besides the fact that some of these other Big Idea episodes, you've helped inspire some of those conversations. Why are you here and why are we discussing this topic?
So this is a really interesting topic that you and I talk about quite a bit. I had opened up to you recently that I have some friends who had confided in me that they have to take frequent breaks from social media because when they spend time on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, they have a lot of feelings of jealousy and comparison come up that puts them in a really negative space. And so they're often finding themselves, I have to take 3 months off, 3 weeks off every now and then because social media really puts me in a space of comparison and jealousy. And while I do think it is okay to take breaks from social media, I do it. I think a lot of people can do it and I recommend it. I do think that if we leave those feelings of jealousy and comparison unquestioned, we are missing out on an opportunity. Rather than just saying, I'm going to take a break from this because it's making me feel bad, I think that there's a missed opportunity there for self-reflection.
It's so true. And I think that in this day and age, we forget that so much. Not that social media is perfect, but I feel like it gets way more credit for bad things than good things. I mean, so many beautiful things have come from social media, but I think it's part of a larger topic of we tend to focus on what we think of as the triggering event than why we might be triggered in the first place. And the problem with that is that if you don't understand that you're part of the problem, then you can't understand that you're part of the solution. If it's always somebody else's fault, then you are not in control. You can't do anything about that. And that is more true when it comes to mindset and health than pretty much any other category that's out there. So learning how to be resilient in the face of these inputs and triggers is so key because they're just inputs and information. And if we're choosing or if we're feeling a particular way because of those inputs and information, the good question to be asking is why? Why do we feel that way? So we can explore and dig in a little deeper. So, okay, we've broken this episode down into two ways to break free from the grips of jealousy and comparison, two big ideas. So let's jump into the first one, which I'm going to get a chance to set up. As always, if you've listened to this big idea episodes, you know that so much of the positioning of my, I won't even call it advice. It's something that we're all exploring together. But so much of the positioning of the big ideas is about awareness and catching yourself early. So this first big idea on this topic is catch yourself early and question your thoughts. Take your thoughts that are statements and turn them into questions. When it comes to jealousy and comparison, the reason I said that jealousy can be a tough topic for people to admit that they struggle with is that nobody wants to be public with the fact that they felt jealous about somebody else. Kay, can you agree? Like, it's not an Yes. easy topic for people to talk about.
Totally. There's a lot of shame around feeling jealousy. I think people think that it makes them weak in some ways.
Totally. But actually what makes you strong is if you can admit like, yes, sometimes I have thoughts that are jealous thoughts, as we all do. And having jealous thoughts doesn't make you be a jealous person.
Yes. And I'm just going to pause you right there. I think that's really important to highlight. Every single person on the planet has experienced jealousy and will continue to experience it in some shape or form. So let's just put it out there. We all go through it.
Yeah. And even comparison is even more baked into our human DNA and brain. We've done many podcasts here where we've talked with different experts like Dr. Rick Hansen and other individuals who say that comparison is built into our brain. Our brain is constantly comparing. That's what makes human beings unique, is our ability to tell stories and to look at how people are doing things and to see how we're doing things. And that was a protection mechanism. As we evolved as human beings from basically sapiens to Homo sapiens, a big part of what helped us survive and thrive was constantly being aware of what the rest of the tribe was doing. This is why Dr. Rick Hansen in past episodes has said that being ostracized, being somebody that was different than part of your tribe, was so wired into the fear and the amygdala portion of our brain that we, in a way, we never wanted to upset the people around us, and we wanted to keep up with the Joneses because the worst thing was being banished from the tribe. No human being could survive out there, hunt on their own, fetch water, do everything by themselves. So that's why comparison is so baked into our brain, and it comes with a lot of good. As a kid, the way that you learn language is comparison. You see how your parents are saying something, or your siblings, or the kids at your school. So there's a good, healthy piece of comparison. The comparison that we're talking about here that can become unhealthy is when we're stuck in it and we're using that evidence as an excuse to play out a destructive pattern. What's a destructive pattern? A destructive pattern is something that you don't want to do. You don't want to quit on your goal to start your own podcast, let's say, because you're comparing yourself to me or somebody else that's out there and saying, well, they're just so much better than I am about that. Or you don't want to quit that idea that you have for that business. Or you don't want to stop making progress in your health goals because you look at your friends, you're like, well, they've already made so much more progress than I had. Why should I even start in the first place? That is getting stuck in comparison.
And I think even just even negative self, continuous negative self-talk is something that comes up when you get stuck in that loop. And just, you know, it comes up for everybody, but getting stuck in that is also, I would add to the conversation.
Absolutely. It's a super important point. So what do we do? Well, what we do is so simple and yet the hardest thing in the world. And it's catching our thoughts of comparison early. Often we've been stuck in comparison or jealousy for a while before we even realize it. It's kind of like this example that I've heard Dr. Mark Hyman share before. He says, you know, most people have not strengthened the connection between what they eat and how they feel. So they go eat a meal that's filled with high carbohydrate diet, and it's got a ton of sugar inside. You know, it's a glucose bomb, and or fried food or processed food. And then later on, they feel like shit. You know, they can't focus. They have low energy. Their blood sugar drops later in the day and they're crashing. and they haven't yet made the connection between that meal that they ate and the fact that it had these implications. The same thing goes when it comes to comparison. Sometimes we don't make the connection that this unpleasant feeling that we have inside of our body, which usually starts off very subtle, it could be the tightness in our stomach. So we feel a little tightness in our stomach. You'll see the classic example, as Kaya was talking about social media, you'll see people who have been, I think it's called doom scrolling, Kaya, is the term.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's when you just keep on scrolling on social media, and like you don't want to do it. It's not benefiting you. You're tired of it. You may not even feel good, but you keep on doing it. And usually when you're doom scrolling, you don't feel good in your body.
Yep.
Your body is always giving you little hidden messages, sometimes hidden, sometimes not so hidden. And those messages come in the following forms. It could be tightness in your stomach. Could be that you're breathing very shallow and that you're breathing very much in your chest. It could be that your neck and shoulders are tight, especially if you're laying down. Could be that your jaw is clenched or you have a little bit of a light headache. These are all subtle signs that you just do not feel good and you want to pay attention to ask yourself what's going on. Okay, I'm going to read a little something that I wrote a couple years ago that I think will help people make the connection between what I'm trying to share here. So this is a short little thing that I wrote on the topic of emptiness and comparing. When we feel empty, we start looking for all the evidence we can to support the story of our emptiness, comparing the thoughts we have about our life to the thoughts that we have about the lives of others is a great way to support that story. It's only awareness breaks the cycle. So there you are laying in bed, doom scrolling, and maybe you've had a tough day. And in that tough day, your boss told you something, or your kids weren't as grateful, or you got into a fight with your husband or partner or significant other. And it wasn't the worst thing in the world, but it made you a little bit agitated. It made you a little feeling of like, this is an unsettled situation. Then you go into your next task or your next thing, maybe take care of some work, some house errands. And then you're caught up on social media. Again, going back to that example, and you're doom scrolling. Now, sometimes when things are not going well in our life or we have a situation like a fight and we're not fully aware of it, we can take the energy of that thing, the thing that's incomplete, into the next thing we do. So now we're on social media or we're having a conversation with a friend who shares something great, like they just got engaged or they just hit that business deal or they just bought that new house of their dreams. Now, that situation, which should be a happy situation, right? It's an independently happy situation. We can feel happy for people and it doesn't take away anything from us. Now becomes a reason to use as the reason why our life is not working out the way we want to. So the situation is an independent event happened. Somebody bought the house of their dreams. Now we're injecting meaning into that situation. Well, I'm not happy. I don't feel good. Why? Well, I don't have enough money and it's because I never finished my college degree. Or such and such. We always come up with a story and narrative that connects the dots between that feeling, and that's how we end up getting stuck in comparison. Kay, anything that you want to add to that?
No, that's so on point.
And I think that why it's so interesting to play out is that often we only pay attention to the trigger. We don't pay attention to the fact that sometimes we felt jealous, or sometimes we were stuck in comparison before the external trigger happened. It's not your friend getting the job of their dreams. It's not somebody making progress in their life and losing weight if that was their goal. That is not the issue. That is not the thing that is leading to these feelings. We always walk into a trigger, a situation, a circumstance with our own energy. And if that energy was influenced by that day or how we feel our life is not moving fast enough or how something isn't working out for us, then the two of those match up and our mind can inject the meaning that things aren't working out for us. So again, what's the antidote? When you catch yourself early, when you notice that tense feeling, instead of listening to that thought that says, wow, it's usually not out loud, by the way, this is all happening in the background. Sometimes our subconscious mind or unconscious mind just says, shit, we start to feel bad about ourselves and we actually have to tease it out. We have to say, why do I feel bad about myself right now? Why do I feel less excited about this thing? Why do I feel like I shouldn't pursue my goals and dreams? And as you unravel it, you say, man, I actually saw this good news of my friend that wrote a bestseller. And I've always said I wanted to write a book and they just got started. And I said I wanted to work on it 10 years ago and they're so much more ahead than I am. So I maybe use that event as a reason to feel a little shitty about myself. That's part of the process of unraveling. We catch the feeling early, usually in our bodies, step one. Then we try to understand what story or meaning we injected into the situation, step two. Step three is we question that thought. Is it really true? Classic Byron Katie style, right? You know, I've mentioned her on the Big Idea episodes in the past before. We question that thought. Is it true that I am any less likely to make progress on my goal because my friend made progress on their goal? Is it true that I actually don't have confidence because I saw somebody who I expected not to have confidence, who has way more confidence than what I feel that I have? When you question those thoughts, that's the first stage at realizing that these thoughts are not your own. They're just thoughts. We all have them. They only become true if you choose to believe them.
I love that. I love it because I think of how much heartache would be saved if people actually questioned their thoughts. Just that question alone, is that true, can save somebody from a world of pain.
And it's hard and it takes time, but we can't start if we don't get started and look for it. So pretty much anytime I don't feel in my body, some of the first questions I'm asking myself is, okay, what am I really feeling? Do I need water, right? How many times are we just straight up dehydrated and we're working a lot or doing something and we're not paying attention to our body? Do I need a break? Do I need a little moment of stillness or meditation? Or do I need to lie down and just take a nap right now?
Do I need food?
Do I need food? Am I hungry?
Is my blood sugar dropping?
And if it's not those things, did something happen? Did something happen today that made me feel or that I used as a reason to feel the way that I'm feeling right now? Especially if you think you might be caught up in jealousy or stuck in comparison. So, Kaya, that's our first big idea. It's a big, big idea with a few steps inside of it, but there's also a big idea that you have that you want to present.
Yeah, so big idea two is reframe your jealousy, which I think is so important if anyone is going to be active on social media or even have an active social life. This idea of reframing your jealousy is key. It's critical. So Carl Jung has this quote. He said, "Everything that irritates us about others can lead us to an understanding of ourselves." And Drew, you and I talk about that all the time. Where we are critical of others is often a reflection of what we feel about ourselves and what we are kind of maybe even stuffing down deep inside of ourselves. And similarly, what we see in others that we appreciate, that we value, that we admire is also within us.
And that's actually the beautiful side of comparison, is that sometimes we turn that into a negative thing, but it could be we see that person doing something amazing and something turns on inside of us that we want to do it too.
Exactly. And the brain is very interesting. So I recently took this course by someone named Lacey Phillips on manifestation, and she talked about this idea of expanders. And so the brain is fascinating. The way it works is that in order for our brains to manifest something, to bring it into fruition, it needs to see it. It needs to believe it and it needs to see it. So this idea of reframing your jealousy can actually be an opportunity to say, okay, I'm feeling feelings of jealousy and comparison, but instead, what if I step into, wow, that person is a human being. They're doing something that I want to do. My brain sees this. My brain is processing it, is understanding it. They made it happen for them, which means that I can make it happen for me. And so that's a quick way for us to step out of lack and into abundance. So Michael Beckwith has this quote when he says, "When we are coming from a place of success and abundance, we cheer others on. When we are coming from this place of abundance, we see what others are doing that we want to be doing, and we say, oh, wow, that is possible." And that is such a beautiful way to reframe your jealousy. I'm over this idea of people, of human beings feeling like if somebody else has something, that means that there's less for me. Actually, I want to shift that. And I want it to kind of go like this. If somebody else has something, that means that it's possible for me. Sorry. If somebody else has something, that means that it's possible for me. The more abundance there is in the world, the more abundance there will be. So it's not that somebody else has something and you don't have it. It's, oh, wow, that person created something for themselves and I can create the same thing for myself. So in addition to reframing our jealousy, there's another opportunity here. Michael Beckwith also has a quote where he says, "Mediocrity attacks excellence." And I think that when we're coming from a place of comparison and lack, we might take this as an opportunity to say, where am I being mediocre and where am I playing small? Now, mediocrity is not a problem. I'm mediocre at a lot of things. I'm a mediocre volleyball player, but that's okay. I'm fine with that. I can be a mediocre volleyball player for the rest of my life. But when I have feelings of mediocrity come up for me, when I feel jealous or when I start to compare myself to other people, it is really an opportunity for me to say, okay, how am I playing small in this moment? Because if I was working towards that thing that I said was important to me every day, even if I hadn't met my goal, as long as I was working towards it every day, I'm coming from a place of excellence and not mediocrity. And I'm way less likely to have those kind of negative feelings of jealousy, comparison, coming from a place of lack, or attacking somebody else who's doing the thing that I want to be doing. So I actually think that when these feelings come up, it's a beautiful opportunity for us to actually reflect on whether or not what we say we want is important to us. If I see somebody running a marathon and I feel comparison and jealousy that they're doing it, okay, is that important to me? Have I been working toward it? And if I was working toward it every day, I'm way less likely to have those negative feelings come up.
And it goes right into the next thing that we want to talk about, Kaya, which is that sometimes the grass is greener on the other side. We see in this world where we get so many inputs, which is not really how our brain was designed. It was not designed to receive as many inputs, which is why it's so important to protect our brain and take a break from things, from inputs from social media to the news, etc. But sometimes we see an input and we think we want it. We think we want it and we are momentarily, we have a thought of jealousy or a thought of comparison. We're like, man, this other person has this thing. And that's a great opportunity, in addition to the reframe, to also, if the answer is, no, I actually don't want it, then what do you want?
Right.
We all are sacrificing different things for the goals that we want to achieve. Recently, something came up for me earlier in the year where I was feeling like, you know what? I've been making really great progress on my podcast, but for a moment, I felt like it wasn't going as fast as it could have because a friend of mine that's also in the space saw some rapid growth in his podcast. And I don't even do this podcast for the numbers. And I had to actually take a moment to step back and say, why am I doing this? What did I want to get out of it? You know, he's doing it full time. And by the way, I'm so happy for him and his success of his podcast. And he's a friend and I cheer him along all the way. But this is literally what he does full time. I run 4 companies. I have a total of 60 plus employees that I'm responsible for. I chose that and I don't want to give that up. I only have maybe 10 hours for my podcast each week and I'm okay with that. So part of the comparison game is remembering. And a big part of staying focused on your goals is remembering. Remembering why you wanted to do what you wanted to do in the first place, right? Because the grass, when it is greener, is a perfect opportunity to say, okay, I had a temporary moment of jealousy, a temporary moment of comparison. No, I actually do want this. I want these goals. No, I actually chose to build a family. So that's why I'm taking off time from work right now. And you end up doubling down and recommitting to the things that you want to make progress in.
I love that. And I think really what we're saying here is that when these feelings come up, it is an opportunity to pause and reflect, to question the thought, to reframe the thought, and to reprioritize. So is it true? How can I reframe this so I'm coming from a place of love and gratitude and abundance and appreciation? And what is important to me? And that quickly will shift you out of that negative feeling of jealousy and comparison.
Okay, can I throw in a bonus big idea?
Yes.
I know it's my own podcast, but it just felt right to ask permission in that moment. I'll throw in another big idea, big idea number 3. Anytime you're working through something, it's so important to have a trusted confidant that you can call and just be real without the fear of judgment. Okay, we actually had that relationship and we've had that relationship for a while. Many listeners of this podcast know that I dropped out of school and went to go pursue my path of entrepreneurship. And when I was even thinking about that and the feelings of keeping up with the Joneses, I'm the first person ever in our family to quit school. I was worried about what everybody would think about it, even though I had my reasons and plans and I had given it a lot of thought. I called you and we talked it out. Even though you were in high school,
yep.
It was still useful and valuable. You've always had that level-headed thinking. And we still talk to each other. We also talk to, shout out to our older sister, Herschel, who we call and talk things out. So talking out and having somebody in your life that you can go to, pick up the phone or meet with them in person and say, I know this is ridiculous, but I've been having jealous feelings of this week. I know this is ridiculous. Or even you don't even have to put that framing on it. I'm just saying sometimes it's uncomfortable for people to talk about. So I know this might seem crazy. Or hey, I've just been having weird feelings. I feel really like I'm stuck in comparison. And share your thoughts. Talk it out. Usually, comparison and jealousy primarily become an issue when they're not voiced externally. When we don't either write them down on paper or talk them out to somebody else and actually work through the questioning of those thoughts. If you don't have somebody in your life that you can go to and open up without a judgment, I think that now you have a new goal. Find that person. Or rather, it's not find that person because it's not like they're a diamond in the rough. Create that. You have relationships right now in your life where you could pick up the phone and talk to somebody who you were previously close to and say, you know, I would love to just catch up once a month and just have a friendship where we could be honest with each other about what we're going through. I have a group of guys that the podcast is familiar with. We call it Man Morning Thursday. In COVID and quarantine and people being spaced out, we haven't always been able to meet up, but we'll hop on the phone with each other once a week and still talk about the things that we're working through. Kaya, who do you go to separate from your family? Do you, you know, have any recommendations for the listeners of how they can create that relationship in their life where they can go to somebody and be honest and not worry about judgment of opening up about some of these thoughts?
Yeah, I think the first thing I will say is that a lot of people feel afraid to reach out and ask for support. But I think you'll be surprised to find that if you do reach out to the people in your life and ask them, hey, once a week or every other week, let's get on the phone and kind of talk about, you know, what we're going through, celebrate our wins and discuss our challenges, that person is going to be so excited because as much as you need it, they need it too. And anytime that anybody reaches out to me in my community and asks for support, it actually makes me feel closer to them. So I have several different groups of girls that I go to. I have a beautiful family. I have a beautiful group of girl cousins that we talk quite a bit about these things. And then, you know, you have your friends from when that you grew up with that know you from your childhood, and then you have your friends that you met when you were older. So everybody brings a different perspective, which is really beautiful. But I think the element of community is absolutely key.
Bonus idea right there. Create your tribe, create your squad, and work through these things together with them. We were not designed to go at it alone. Kaya, it's been a pleasure and an honor to have you on the Big Idea of the Week episode. How was it for you?
It was great. It was so fun. We have to do it again.
And if people recognize your voice, by the way, you also do the Doctor's Pharmacy intros.
Yes, that's right.
Awesome. So if you're a fan of this episode and you want to give Kaya a shout out, you can find her on Instagram, and her link to her Instagram and social media is in the show notes at Kaya Perowit. Kaya, thank you again for sharing. If you have feedback on this podcast, text us 302-200-5643. That's 302-200-5643. And as always, share this episode with a friend if you think it'll make a difference for them. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, everyone.